Welcome to the Leadership Napa Valley Candidate Forum for County Supervisor District Number 1, Primary Election. This podcast, recorded in early April, has been offered to each candidate to host on their websites and numerous others for streaming. We are glad you found it, and we encourage you to share it. Your hosts today are four members of Leadership Napa Valley Class 34. Each leadership class is made up of six small teams who all complete a practicum. That's a project that they work on together that provides a benefit to our community at large. Our group is known as the Phenomenal Four. Yes, we get to name our groups. And the four phenoms are Susan Larson Bauer, Katie Anderson, Nancy Kirsten, and yours truly, Lee W. Miller. This is our forum project. The four of us and anyone who has ever been through the Leadership Napa Valley program encourage you to check it out. Go to leadershipnapavalley.org for more info. Special gratitude to Wind Down Media for graciously allowing us the use of their facility and equipment. Also, we tip our proverbial hats to all four of these candidates for stepping up and running for office. We are grateful for folks like you putting yourselves out there, endeavoring to make a difference. Our best wishes to all of you. Now, the forum rules for our audience and a review for the candidates. The order and sequence of candidate responses has been determined randomly and will rotate for optimum equality. Each candidate response will be timed and maxed out at 90 seconds. At the 80-second mark, they will receive a hand wave indicating that they should conclude in 10 seconds. At the 90-second mark, they will hear a bell, and any speaking after the bell will be edited out of the podcast. The Phenomenal Four members will state their name prior to posing a question, and we will also rotate the posing of the questions to the candidates. So, that's our introduction. Why don't we begin with the 90-second candidate introductions, and the random selection was how you walked in and sat down, not knowing which chair was which. And so, Joelle, you are going to go first, and we'll go this way, and then we'll move on and rotate the order of responses.
Great.
Joelle Gallagher, you are
Hi,
on the floor.
Can you hear me?
We can
Am
hear
I
you
Am I projecting
just fine.
Well enough? Okay, great.
Yes.
All right. So, Lee, for 30 years, I've been serving the community in a variety of leadership roles, including the executive director of the Farm Bureau and the Grape Growers Association, and the executive director of Cope Family Center, and also First Five Napa County. I'm one of the founders of the Napa Housing Coalition, and I've served on numerous boards, including the Napa Chamber of Commerce and the Napa Chamber of Commerce Foundation. I'm also a Napa County Planning Commissioner, and I have the skills and experience in the two main focus areas of the Board of Supervisors, which are land use and health and human services. I've collaborated across sectors and know that trusting relationships are critical to doing the work that requires brave decision making. With over 40% of our residents carrying a housing burden and one out of three households not earning enough income to make ends meet, and 80% of our workforce commuting from outside of Napa County, we really must build more housing that is affordable and assure people earn a living wage. In Napa County, we need to better understand water availability, and we need to fund our wildfire protection plan because we cannot continue to endure catastrophic wildfires, which traumatize our communities, burden our economy, and really endanger our public health. Most importantly, we need to support the mental health and well-being of our residents to create a healthy and resilient community. Thanks.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. Now, Garrett Hale.
Good evening. Thank you for inviting me to the forum. Garrett Hale, 54-year resident of Napa, born at the Queen of Valley Hospital. I was asked by many, many people in the community to run for county supervisor, not because I was looking for a position or a title, not because I'm running on merit over money, but because of my 37 years business experience here in the Valley, throughout California, Arizona, and overseas. Here in the Valley, I've owned Pacific Electric Construction, Pacific Lights Retail, Garrett's Guide, which is an advertising company in the food and wine industry, and construction finance manager for a private money lending company in Napa and Sonoma. general partner in a MedMal insurance company in Southern California and in Arizona, a advertising marketing company for the construction industry. Overseas, I was involved in a family operation of import-export for Napa Valley wines to the European area through Germany. I sit as CEO of a publicly traded company for a mines and mineral company in Sierra Leone, Africa, and I'm currently the major partner in a pilot project for a solar operation in the greater part of Nigeria. So what I'm hoping by being asked to run for this position is bringing my critical thinking to the county. We are a world-class destination, and I intend on showing the other counties throughout California how we operate like a world-class destination. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. Next up, Suzanne Truchard.
Thank you so much for organizing this great practicum. I'm so happy to tell you a little bit about myself and why I'm running for Napa County Supervisor. I am the daughter of Cuban immigrants. My family lost their farm and lost everything to Fidel Castro's revolution. They arrived in the U.S. with just their suitcases and the clothes on their backs. They started over, and at a young age, I learned the value of hard work, family, grit, and community. These values have driven me throughout my entire life. I graduated with honors from Harvard University with a degree in healthcare policy, then pursued my law degree at Northwestern University with a service distinction. As an attorney and community leader, I led a group of concerned citizens to oppose an out-of-town developer that threatened our precious water resources and habitats. That experience taught me the importance of being engaged in the governmental process. We were successful in defeating the project, but by one narrow vote. Individuals in elected office can truly shape the landscape of Napa forever. I saw the impact that our efforts had then, and I found myself getting more involved in our community and seeing that we need bold leadership to get things done. Instead of roadblocks and arbitrary decision making, we should have collaborative and creative solutions to local problems, be it fire, water, housing, or any other issue we face as a county. We need leaders that will create outcomes, not committees and task forces. As supervisor, I will implement solutions that protect our environment and make certain our children and future generations can afford to live in the very place they grew up. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne Bezu Truchard. Next up, David Graves.
Howdy. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. I believe the county is at a crossroads. Napa County has to work for everybody. The community must believe that the supervisors are balancing the needs of all the people of Napa County. And here are some of the issues that I want to address. They have something all to do with climate, and they each affect all of us. Wildfires threaten our property, our economy, the quality of our water supply, and even our lives. We must improve our ability to prevent fires. We have to be able to effectively fight fires, and we have to restore the health of our forests, chaparral, and grasslands. Climate change is threatening the security of our water supply. We need to come together to safeguard the groundwater of the valley floor as the precious resource that it is. And we also need to measure how much water is being used by all the sectors, including the natural environment. Our commitment to city center growth means that housing needs will largely be met inside our city limits. The county must continue to be a reliable partner for the cities and do its share to fund housing. More housing in the cities will also help address our transportation needs. Lack of workforce housing doesn't harm just workers. It hinders our entire economy and hollows out our community. Finally, we must get to net zero greenhouse gas emissions. We must enact all electric building codes, retrofit existing buildings, and generate more clean, renewable energy.
Thank you, David Graves. Okay, that concludes the introductory remarks by each candidate. We move to our very first question. It's an easy one. We'll start with Joelle. What does it mean to you to be a supervisor in Napa County?
Well, thank you for that question, Lee. What it means to me to be a supervisor is to be a public servant. That is what I believe I've been for the 30 years that I've been in Napa County. I have been working to protect our agricultural lands, to protect our environment and our natural resources, and also to advocate for families and kids. And I feel that what I have done is be a public servant, leading, for example, these nonprofit organizations, serving on the Napa County Planning Commission, and also serving on numerous boards and committees that strive to make life better for the residents of Napa County and its workforce. And so for me, this is really a natural progression. I feel like the way that I can make the most impact is to be in policy making. And I feel it's a very natural transition to go from being an advocate to being a policymaker. I have the experience and the skills, and I want to continue to serve Napa County.
Thank you very much, Joelle Gallagher. Next up, Garrett Hale.
Thank you. What does it mean for me to be a supervisor? I think in simplicity, it's a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers' funds. The taxpayers work diligently year after year. They give those taxes to the community in expectation. Everybody has different expectations, but the primary expectations of safety, fire protection, roads, sidewalks, things like that. My experience throughout this country and other countries, bringing the, I always say I can do book work and I can do backhoe work, so to bring that to the table, being a gentleman that's most often signed the check on the front, I understand that financial responsibility and the expectations of employees, expectations of other companies. So I hope to bring that to the table and be as efficient as possible and try to find avenues where we can put funding from being efficient into other avenues of improvement in the valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. Next up, Suzanne Basu Truchard.
Thank you, Lee. Apart from a thick skin and some grit, which I think is definitely required for supervisor, I do think a balanced approach to problem solving, the ability to collaborate, and actually bring tangible solutions to the table is all about being supervisor. I think you need to negotiate effectively, whether it's advocating for mental health services or figuring out the budget with your fellow supervisors and getting things done. I think that things have become so polarized in our county that we need a more centered and balanced approach. And most importantly, I think you have to realize that it's not about you. It's about serving the people of Napa and serving the citizens of Napa. It's not about your ego. It's not about clamoring about for who gets to the mic first. It's really about working together effectively. And I'm thankful that I have relationships with other supervisors on the board to make that happen. And finally, I think it's also about leadership. You know, I think leadership is more than just serving on boards, which we've all done here. I think it's about inspiration for the next generation. And I saw that in my campaign launch. And when I knock on doors and I knock in the doors in Hispanic neighborhoods and they see someone that speaks like them and has accomplished all these things and it inspires them to do better. So it's a multifaceted and complex position that requires a lot of hard work. And like I've said many times, I've worked hard all my life and I'm ready to work for the people of Napa.
Thank you, Suzanne Basu Truchard. David Graves, what does it mean to you to be a supervisor in Napa County?
I have experience in the private sector as a founder of a winery, but I also, like Joelle, have experience as a planning commissioner. I just finished up my term as chair of the Groundwater Sustainability Plan Advisory Committee, and I'm therefore very conversant with the resource issues that we face. I'm also very aware of the fact that the county spends north of $450 million a year running a correctional system and a legal system, a probation system. There are a lot of moving parts. I think the most important part of what the supervisors spend money on is actually related to health and welfare for vulnerable parts of our population. But going forward, I think we're all very vulnerable to the effects of disruptive climate change. And that touches pretty much everything we do. And I think it's something that as a graduate of the Al Gore Climate Reality Program, I've been very, very committed to that solution for the entire community.
Thank you, David Graves. We're on to our second question. We're going to start with Garrett Hale. The question is, given Napa County's industry sectors, what are the top 2 to 3 actions you want to see implemented to do our part to slow down climate change?
Two topics to address our part for climate change. Well, It's a big question. When we have scientists from all over the world attempting to address climate change, and at what sector do we look at that? We look at that over a 10-year, 100-year, 1,000-year period. What we can do locally from the potential climate change is to be efficient. Efficient with our groundwater, efficient with our pollution. When we look at mitigation like stripping property, stripping vineyards, that we have diesel to consider. We have oil in the ground to consider that has to be mitigated, fires that happen from that. We need to take all that into consideration and do a better job looking at that globally. And regarding our groundwater, whether we head into a dry next decade or we head into a wet next decade, being efficient with our water supply and not blowing off 10, 20,000 gallons at a time down storm drains and in our communities because of sediment in the water, things like that can make great changes towards what may be ahead.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. I'm Katie Anderson. I'm a member of the Class 34 Leadership Napa Valley hosting this candidate forum for District 1. Next up is Suzanne Basu-Truchard. And Suzanne, again, the question, given Napa County's industry sectors, what are the top 2 to 3 actions you want to see implemented to do our part to slow down climate change?
Thank you, Katie. I think there's a lot we can do. I would like to touch upon reducing emissions. I'm working with several people in the agricultural industry that are developing electrical tractors, which is a huge technological innovation. I'm also looking at successful green ride sharing in the Central Valley and other agricultural communities that can contribute to that reduction. We can make a dramatic impact there. Specifically, as it relates to water, we have an incredible opportunity to increase the use of wastewater systems. There's a lot of wineries that are currently doing this. We can increase that by incentivizing the wineries to do more and businesses to do better, in addition to reducing urban water usage. And finally, moving forward, as we build, we need to build in a much greener fashion. I think there's opportunities to incentivize builders to create LEED certified greener buildings as we move forward into the future. I think basically being at the interface of technology and climate is really where the magic happens. And I think that that's where we need to focus on looking at successful case studies throughout the country and the world and implementing what works in Napa.
Thank you, Susan Basu-Truchard. On to David Graves.
We need to have an ambitious building code with a reach provision that will make it so that all our buildings are, all our new buildings are all electric. We also need to retrofit our existing building stock. Rental housing lags very far behind in energy efficiency because there's not really an alignment of the interests of tenants and landlords. We need to generate more electricity locally. All the warehouse roofs in the county and in American Canyon and in the city of Napa, most of them do not have solar arrays on them. And that's a wasted opportunity. So I think that sector is important. And also I think, of course, water is always front and center.
Great. Thank you, David. David Graves. And last, for this question, again, given Napa County's industry sectors, what are the top two to three actions you want to see implemented to do our part to slow down climate change? And this is for Joelle.
Thank
Gallagher.
You.
Excuse me, Joelle.
Thanks, Katie. Well, I think, first of all, it's really important that the county declare a climate emergency. Both the City of American Canyon and the City of Calistoga have done so. It's time to declare a climate emergency. It's not just climate change anymore. Declaring an emergency gives us the opportunity to do things like create emergency ordinances if we feel we have to, and really move actions around climate change to the fore and make them a priority for the county. Something that Sonoma County has is a regional protection authority. I think that's something that's really important that we do here. We have a sort of loosely coordinated climate action committee, but we need to formalize that and have something like Sonoma County does. This way we can set climate goals and milestones and work across our county region and to coordinate and also pool our resources. Also developing a climate emergency mobilization plan. This is also something that is happening in Sonoma County. That way we can strategically put into action the declaration of the climate emergency, so we can actually take actions based on that that resolution, and we can meet not only our regional goals but the statewide goals of climate neutrality as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. I am Nancy Kirsten. I'm also a member of LNV 34, Leadership Napa Valley, Class 34. So my question, Suzanne, you'll be first. Your district is socially, economically, and topographically diverse. How will you engage with different segments of the community that you will need to work with?
Thank you, Nancy. As a Latina, I grew up in a two-bedroom apartment with my mom and my sister. And as many of you know, I've been knocking on doors for the last 8 months. And part of the district has a lot of apartments that remind me of where I grew up, which was very humbly. I see them and I recognize them. But apart from that, it's also recognizing different needs. Westwood is very different from the Alphabet Streets. Carneros is very different from the east side of Napa, from Anderson Ranch, and they all have different issues that they have addressed. The one common thread that I have found that everyone has an issue with is traffic and roads. The roads are certainly a huge issue that need to be addressed. I think the potholes, the speeding throughout our neighborhoods is something that I'm going to work from day one as supervisor, particularly with Slow Down Napa. We're looking at a lot of traffic calming initiatives that are going to make a tremendous difference.
Thank you, Suzanne Basu Truchard. And next, David Graves.
I think all of us have, as we do our outreach to members of the community, would-be voters, it's been a real education, certainly for me, to see the diversity of situations for housing and amenities around District 1. I think that the if you look at the school population, obviously we have a majority minority, quote unquote, school population, and I think we need to make a very serious effort to reach out to encourage participation from a very early age. I learned more about the diversity of the school population when I was a reader at Shearer School. It's one of the least advantaged schools, and yet there's so much potential there. And those folks need to be included and brought along from a very early age.
Thank you, David Graves. Let's see, Joelle Gallagher.
Thanks, Nancy. Well, I have worked very closely with the County Department of Public Health, and I know that we have different life expectancies based on where you live in Napa, in Napa County. And that is very surprising and shocking to people, but it's true. We have great inequity, and to me, it's really all about building equity and inclusion. The city of Napa, for example, proclaimed racism as a public health crisis. I'd like to see the county do the same thing. And we need to review all our county policies and assure they're equitable and inclusive. And we really need to have a plan for engaging our immigrant community. We do not have a language access plan at all. You cannot come to a public meeting, speak in the language of your choosing, be immediately understood through a translation service by the city council or the supervisors, and then receive that information back in your own language. It's a very clunky system. It's not welcoming, it's not inviting, it's not accessible, and that absolutely has to change. I really believe it's about everyone feeling that they belong and they're included in the community.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. Next, Garrett Hale.
Thank you. This question is somewhat easy for me. Being a contractor and being a Chicano American, my mother's side of the family came from Guadalajara. So working with the Hispanic community for the last 37 years, literally in the trenches, gives me a vast understanding of how they really live. Growing up as a young kid, I remember the old Hispanic ways. We literally took a bath in the water trough out back. My grandmother was set in her ways. I've lived in some of the worst environments. I've lived in Silverado Country Club. So to understand that, as well as my understanding working in Africa, to see all the different socioeconomic circumstances, and being an employer, understanding, you know, what comes out of their checks, what hardships they have, it really, really has given me the ability to be able to work with the community and the Hispanic community, whether it's housing, whether it's jobs, whether it's programs that will bring them up to status that they're looking for. I talk to a lot of Hispanics about this, what they feel is a ceiling. If I can't make over X amount of money in the household, otherwise I will lose my benefits. I'm pushing and pushing for them to understand that that needs to be the floor. You need to live in Silverado. You need to live in Atlas Peak or Monticello Park. So I definitely have great potential there in helping that diversity. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Susan Larson Bauer. I'm also a class of leadership, a member of Leadership Napa Valley Class 34. And I am presenting the next question, and we're going to start with David Graves. How do you propose to balance the necessity to preserve Napa's watersheds, ag preserve, rural areas, and private property rights with the state's recent mandate to build thousands of new houses in the units in the county?
I think we need to have a look at our entire watershed to understand more about which parts of it are suitable and which parts of it are not for any future vineyard development. But above the valley floor, we have about 175,000 acres, I think, of watershed land. I don't think we're in danger of immediately causing issues, but you know, with things like the 30 by 30 initiative to preserve the biological diversity of our entire region, we really need to be mindful of that. The new general plan for the city of Napa and the regional housing needs assessment for the county, they're not just Napa problems, they're not just Bay Area problems, they're statewide problems. And the solutions aren't going to be instant, but I think we have to think hard about the effects of the beneficial effects of density on reducing the impacts of travel to work, to school. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities to do better with our built environment while still taking care of the ag lands and the wildlands of our county.
Thank you, David Graves. Next, we'll go to Joelle Gallagher. Would you like me to repeat the question?
Please, thank you.
Of course. How do you propose to balance the necessity to preserve Napa's watersheds, ag preserve, rural areas, and private property rights with the state's recent mandate to build thousands of new housing units in the county?
Well, I think that we have made a good start in that we have the city of American Canyon and the city of Napa taking a good portion of our arena share for the next cycle. That shows great collaboration between the county and the cities. And it really does need to happen that way because we have an agricultural preserve and we want to keep our unincorporated lands for ag and open space. We really need our cities to be where the housing is, and we need to keep housing in urban centers near services, schools, etc. So that is something that I think we have always tried to do, but we need to continue to make that happen. I think as the county, we don't build a lot of housing because of our zoning, and so we need to do everything we can to support and encourage the cities to do the best they can to provide the necessary housing. I think there are a lot of policy changes that need to occur at the city level, and we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to coordinate with the cities and support them to do things like affordability by design, to pass a local preference ordinance, you know, many different things cities can do. But we are, you know, protecting ag and protecting our watershed, and we need to give a lot of thought to any kind of development we're doing in our watershed.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. Garrett Hale, would you like me to repeat the question?
I got it the second time. Thank you very
much. All right.
Thank you. Very complicated and probably one of our biggest topics and concerns here in the Valley. What do we do with regards to being pressured from bigger government to grow when our topics are we're running out, we're running low? The only way that we can do that is, we look at our RUL lines, we look at the RENA numbers, and try to come up with a calculation of how it makes sense. But most importantly is, where do we get the resources? How do we get the resources? The only way is through conservation. Back a few decades ago, I know we had entered into a program with the toilets in the Valley, that if you had X amount of toilets that were on the replacement program, then you could add X amount of units, because we were exchanging gallons for gallons at that point. We really need to look at that once more. There are still, I think, 20% of the toilets out there that are not the low flow. We've got to look at recycle mitigation. I work in the wineries all the time. I work out in the fields. I see a lot of waste. We need to become more conservatory about that. And with regards to whether it's in the REO lines in the city or out in the county, we could look at places, say, like out in Carneros, where we have a school that is currently looking at closing. And that's something that the county would have to look at purchasing. And they're already set up with toilets, water facilities, and septic that could be utilized. And we could actually grow that and use that for housing on a system that already exists. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. Suzanne Bizou-Truchard.
Thank you so much, Susan. So I think, you know, we have an incredible opportunity for urban infill here. There are several pockets within the city limits that have wonderful potential to do thoughtful mixed-use projects. As an attorney, I worked vigorously to create projects that had ground floor retail, affordable housing units, and market rate units. And that's really the happy mix that you need in order to cover the complex and high construction costs. You know, I think fundamentally what we're looking at is we may have to end up pushing back to the state if these drought conditions continue. Changes do happen at that policy level, and you know, we've changed the fire insurance limits, we've changed other things, so I think that relationships with the state are important. And finally, I'm working with several vintners to create programs for farm worker housing, and I think that that's another definitely a good opportunity to increase the number of units and create affordable and livable places for our hard workers in the vineyards.
Thank you, Suzanne Bizou-Truchard. Joelle Gallagher, question number 5 is, recent dust-ups surrounding the Board of Supervisors have been highly visible, and the public opinion of the board has been shaken. What changes do you suggest to restore the public's trust in the board's decisions?
Well, thank you, Lee. I think that's a complicated question, but...
That's why we asked it.
This is not a softball, huh? It's really, really important that people who work together build trusting relationships with each other. Having run organizations, built teams, worked to create shared leadership structures, you have to build trusting relationships. It's where it all starts. So, you know, board members need to be able to work as colleagues and have a certain level of trust with each other, as well as that trust that's built with the staff as well. I think that, you know, what I hope to bring to the Board of Supervisors is a sense of collaboration, an understanding of what shared leadership looks like, an understanding of the board versus the staff role. I think it's really, really important that the board has a vision, a very clear vision, and is able to articulate that to staff, and that the staff is then empowered to carry out the work and not stifled in any way from doing their jobs. I also think that it's, you know, really important that we make sure that we give our staff all of the support and encouragement that they need. And I'm not a fan of gatekeeping. I think communication is very, very important. And I think that gatekeeping leads to the inability to communicate well and creates dysfunction.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. Garrett Hale, would you like me to repeat the question?
I think we all would.
Okay. Recent dust-ups surrounding the Board of Supervisors have been highly visible, and the public opinion of the board has been shaken. What changes do you suggest to restore the public's trust in the board's decisions?
Okay, just want to make sure, since this topic is a tough topic, to answer correctly. I believe, first and foremost, the public should be more involved in the Board of Supervisors meetings. There's nothing like going there and actually hearing the board and letting the board hear your voice. It definitely gives you a better contact, a one-on-one, that you feel like you're being heard because of the Brown Act and other restrictions. Of course, the board can't talk to you, and people need to understand that, that there are limitations. To rebuild the trust, one of the situations that's happening now with this election, I believe will be a great thing, regardless of the candidate that takes office. For the public, we're looking at two new positions that the public is going to choose, and that's going to be one of their decision-making decisions, is who they trust. For me, I tell my public, I've been trusted for 37 years. People leave me their keys to their house, to their cars, to whatnot, and I really take that serious. It's very important. But bottom line, the people do need to get more involved. And the board itself, how can they react back to the community? More expeditiously. I think that's what we've seen over the board. The community asking, get this done, get it over. Please let us know that you're taking care of it. So expedite. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. Suzanne Bessou-Trouchard, would you like me to repeat the question?
I think I'm okay. I think I heard it. Thank you.
All right.
There's certainly room for improvement at the supervisor level. Honestly, one of the main questions I get asked is, what does a supervisor do? What are you supervising? So I think a marketing campaign to the public of what a supervisor does on a daily basis, what are the issues that they address, would be key. It is true that the county seems fractured and that morale is low among staff, is what I have heard. The nice part of never having held elected or appointed office is that I'm not part of these behind the door, behind the scenes machinations and alliances. I'm bringing a fresh perspective. I'm bringing new ideas and new blood. And I think the county is ready for that. And I honestly think the public is ready for that. So the first thing that I'm going to do as supervisor is a deep dive into the county and figure out, you know, what's going wrong and keep going on what's going right. And not just with the department heads, but with everyday staff interacting with the people that make the county keep going. And I've knocked on a lot of doors of county employees that have shared with me their issues. And those are the things that I'm taking in and building a comprehensive plan that I will implement as supervisor. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne Bessou-Trouchard. And now David Graves.
I don't think government service is easy for the staff. I think the creating a collaborative culture is always an ongoing process. It's easy to lose trust. It's harder to build it back up or to preserve it. I think transparency, both internally and externally, is really important, such that the public understands, you know, who are the supervisors talking to. Obviously, financial disclosures, transparency, that's really important, but also the internal workings of a $450 million enterprise. It's I think it's proven that the generational change from the boomers retiring has created a lot of staffing issues in many areas of government, including ours. And I think that needs to be addressed.
Thank you, David Graves. We're moving on to the next question, and that is, talking in specifics, what does successful growth management look like to you? And we're going to start with Garrett Hale.
Okay, successful growth management says it in itself. We have to work together collaboratively in our community. We have to look at our resources. We have to look at our state limitations that are being put on us. And we need to reach out to the professionals in this community. I know I've heard a couple other comments here tonight about increasing or changing our staff that we currently have. I think looking looking to hire the best of the best can really mitigate a lot of our consulting fees, our consulting costs, which have grave effect to our bottom line. Having someone, and I'll give you an example, going down to the city building department, we have a newer administration there that's come out of the county, and their mantra is red line versus red tape. And it was really music to my ears, being in the construction industry, that they want to get it done at the counter because they have the experience. They can look at the plans and know what to do and what not to do. And they said, look, for these small projects, we can get them out the door and get you back on the job and get the revenue running and really focus on the important, those harder jobs that really need to go through planning and whatnot. And in the end of the day, it's between you, your insurance company, and your contractor. We're there to just look at gross oversight. So definitely a positive there in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. Moving on to Suzanne Bissou-Truchard, would you like me to restate the question?
Sure.
Okie doke. Talking in specifics, what does successful growth management look like to you?
Thank you. I think what's most important is to have a balanced approach, and one of the main things that we can do is take a deeper dive, probably sooner, into the general plan. We've gone from a period of high growth in Napa, and I think we need to move to a period of more moderate to slow growth. I think the way to approach that is by bringing the stakeholders to the table, not in these polarizing situations where you have groups that want absolutely no growth and are quite vociferous in their statements, and then you have people that want to rubber stamp everything. And that's not the right solution either. So I do think that there's an opportunity for us to focus on the general plan and look at, again, what's going right and where do we need to put the brakes a little bit. And, you know, fundamentally, I think that when you look at the urban infill of what's happening here, you have to understand the needs of the community, of the city, and the locals. The locals feel forgotten. The locals feel as though no one's paying attention to them. And the economic boom that's happening in downtown, they don't feel a part of. So we need growth that is focused on the needs of the locals and how we can remedy that so that people stay and live here.
Thank you, Suzanne Bissou-Truchard. And coming up to David Graves. David, would you like me to repeat the question?
Sure.
Okie doke. Speaking in specifics, what does successful growth management look like to you?
I think the what we've seen over the last, say, two or three decades is that our jobs housing balance has become unbalanced. We have seen a lot of growth in low-wage jobs. That's generated a lot of commute traffic because there's no housing for people that are at that family income level. So we really need to think hard about balancing the kinds of jobs that we promote versus the availability of resources to look after people who are actually creating the prosperity with their labor that we have here in the valley. I think that, again, the city-centered growth means that the county has to partner very closely with the cities in order to achieve a balanced growth. The fact that we live near a really wealthy Silicon Valley has generated a lot of really amazing high-end growth, but I don't think it's served the rest of the community very well.
Thank you, David Graves. And finally, to Joelle Gallagher. Joelle, speaking in specifics, what does successful growth management look like to you?
Well, I think that we're really in something of a conundrum and have been for a while. You know, we are a slow growth county and have been for decades. And now we have a very high number of housing units that we need to provide via the state mandates. And we also have depleted resources. We're facing a drought. We're probably going to be facing drought for another couple of years. And so it's going to be really, really hard to balance our growth or to successfully manage it. But I think importantly, getting ahead of the update on the county general plan by starting to work on the general plan EIR using current science and really putting that current climate science to work is going to be really, really important. Things are a lot different than they were in 2008 when the last general plan was done. And I think that we need to also, as David said, we need to address the jobs housing imbalance. We have low wage jobs and housing that is just not affordable to people who work here. And something that I think is really, really important is that we start welcoming organized labor. We should have organized labor in our hotels, for example. People would be making a lot more money. They would be earning and being able to afford housing. But instead, we have low wages. We don't compare to San Francisco and Oakland, but our hotel rooms are still very highly priced. So those are some ideas.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. Okay, I'm Nancy Kirsten. I'm back. The next question we've sort of touched on, but we will run it again. Suzanne Vassaud-Trichard, what do you intend to do as supervisor to increase our housing supply for workforce families?
So I did touch upon this in my previous response. I think that we have an incredible opportunity with farm worker housing, and I am working with several vintners and community leaders to identify farm worker housing opportunities and build them and make sure that the project comes to fruition instead of talking about it for years. I think we have the opportunity in the Napa Valley Commons to be reimagined, to make that a walkable city, in mini city or village in and of itself. It's an industrial kind of office corporate region, and I think that we can convert that into sort of a mixed-use smaller community, and I've seen several success stories like that throughout the country. So I'm in talks with both the county and city to explore that opportunity, because I think that that brings proximity to Napa, eliminates traffic, and we have an opportunity to create more housing in a pocket that has not been tapped into.
Thank you, Suzanne Vassaud-Trichard. Next, David Graves, do you want to hear the question again?
It always helps sharpen my mind.
All right. What do you intend to do as a supervisor to increase our housing supply for workforce families?
One of the things the county has the ability to do is exact development fees from use permits. And I think that both in the city and the county, there's been a reluctance to actually assess fees that are proportional to the impact of, for example, the need for housing. So I wouldn't be afraid to say we need to reexamine the fee structure. I think we can't build that housing adequately in the county for good reasons, because of our city-centered growth strategy. So I think, once again, it's about cooperating with the cities and being creative about the kinds of housing we build, and also creating a more livable, walkable set of neighborhoods in, say, the city of Napa or in American Canyon.
Thank you, David Graves. Next, Joelle Gallagher.
Thank you. You know, 20 years ago or so, when I was working for the Farm Bureau and the Grape Growers Association, we worked collaboratively to get the farm worker centers up and running. And that was really important to do for our migrant workforce. However, I really believe that it's incredibly important that farm worker families, just like other families, are live in our cities, live in our urban centers, and are close to services. I really don't approve of the idea of creating family farm worker housing out in the rural areas. I think that that is a form of segregation. And that is something that I have heard bandied about over the last few years. But we really need to think of all families and how they're going to thrive. And as David said, you know, we really can't do a lot about housing as supervisors. We are doing city-centered growth, and we're trying to protect our ag and open space. So I think we need to work very closely with the cities. We need to have very good relationships with the city, and we need to support them in whatever way possible to create the kinds of policies that they need. There are pre-approval programs for ADUs at the state level that should probably be expanded to handle the missing middle. control the middle class housing. We could delete parking minimums. Parking lots cost a lot to build, and they really disrupt the walkability of a neighborhood as well. And I think I'm running out of time, so I'll stop there.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. And now Garrett Hale, do you want to hear the question again?
I got the question. Okay. I'm just trying to get a massive topic done in the time. Oh my goodness. What can we do as supervisors? What can I do as a supervisor? Bring my experience from around the world. I've seen, as I said, other socioeconomic issues being handled. We talk about like stack impact. That has a bad name to it. People think, oh gosh, you're not going to crowd them in there, but. When you have people that only have a certain limited income coming in every month, for them to live in, say, a 400 square foot efficiency dwelling where we could, we could put, say, like 60 units where we are doing subsidized housing on one house lot. So as far as, consumption, energy use, things like that, it makes more sense to stack them like that. There's also less to clean, less to deal with. You don't have to heat, you don't have to cool like you do when you're in a house. They don't have skis, they don't have tuxedos, That's not their lifestyle. They're starting out so that they can move on. Looking at our schools that are closing down, I know this is a way you could go one way or the other on this topic because we're closing schools down, but yet we're looking at increasing our population. So if we're going to increase our population, and we're going to close our school down, but we're going to take the schools to put in, dense housing or migrant housing, this is a serious issue that we have to look at, those numbers. How many people are we going to bring in? How many people, those people who are just starting out in life that are living in those, workforce dwellings are going to have children and whatnot? So it's a huge, huge topic. Now, you look at, like, Sun Valley, and people say, oh, my gosh, workforce housing is terrible. Sun Valley has it right there in the resort. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And it can work. We just have to take all of our experiences from traveling the world and traveling other counties and put those to use here in Napa.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. I'm Susan Larson-Bauer again, and we are at the last question. This has been so fast. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a Miss America question. What do you like best about being a resident of Napa County? To Suzanne Bézu-Trouchard.
So it's a great question. I would probably say the community, whether you've been here for 80 years or 50 years or 20 years or almost 13 years like me, it's always been a welcoming community that really embraces the people no matter where you're from. And from day one, I immerse myself in the community through opportunities like Leadership Napa Valley, as I think most of us have done here, and serving on the board of Ole Health, serving on the board of Boys and Girls Club, all those windows into the community have been such a blessing for me, and to be able to give back in that manner. And I think honestly, the Ag Preserve is probably one of the greatest gifts that the people that fought so hard for it decades ago push for that, and the foresight of that. When you look at other communities in California that are condo canyons now or McMansions, and they fought hard to preserve that. And I'll never forget one of the gentlemen, I spoke at one of the Leadership Napa Valley talks. And so to me, my first job was up valley, and even if I had the worst day at work on my commute home, I would say, look at your commute home with this cotton candy sky, with these vineyards and beautiful hillsides, and you have your health, and it's not bad. I used to drive up to the 9th floor of a parking lot in a skyscraper when I worked at the law firm. And so for me, I think the Ag Preserve and the community are what, keep me here in Napa.
Thank you, Suzanne Bézu-Trouchard. David Graves, would you like me to repeat the question?
I think I can get it this time.
Good.
Coming to Napa was really the fulfillment of a dream for me. When I look back, my family wasn't in the wine business. We were, I hate to say it, avid wine drinkers. But I grew up in the East Bay, and I visited Napa a lot as a child and as a kid. But my first job at a winery when I was 25 was really the fulfillment of a dream. And looking back on it, I feel extremely lucky to have had a career in the wine business. But I also feel really lucky to live in such a wonderful place as Napa. I was a board member and board chair of the land trust for many years. And we have a remarkable wild landscape that coexists with this wonderful agricultural landscape. And it's in a way miraculous that we're one of the nine counties of the Bay Area with only 140,000 people in a metropolitan area of more than 6 million. So I feel really blessed to be here. I've been able to live in a wonderful neighborhood and really feel privileged every day.
Thank you, David Graves. Joelle Gallagher.
Thank you, Susan. You know, for me, I grew up in the area. I grew up actually in Sonoma and commuted over to Justin Siena a high school and then lived in different parts of the Bay Area and 30 years ago moved from San Francisco to Napa. And I really love being able to make a difference in the community. I think our community is small enough and tight enough that one person can make a difference and a group of people can make a huge impact. And I've been really, really lucky to work a long time in the nonprofit sector and have built really incredible collaborative relationships. And people have told me, you know, who've come from other communities, I am really shocked at the way Napa, the county of Napa, is able to work, that people are able to work together, not compete with each other, do what's best for the community, and everyone has the opportunity to make a difference and have impact. And so that has been really fulfilling for me, and I've made really great friendships, and it's really a wonderful place to be. But we all have to be working every day to, you know, make a difference in our community, and I think here we have the opportunity to really do that and make that happen for each other. Thanks.
Thank you, Joelle Gallagher. And finally, Garrett Hale.
Okay. What I love about here, I was born and raised here, so for me, this is home. And having experience of coming from a Latino Chicano family, I was here back in the day where Fridays would come and La Migra would come after farm workers put in their 40 plus hours of work, and I'm sorry that, it really touches my heart. I really apologize for that. But how Napa has grown so far from that, how it's just become an incredible town. When you have the opportunity to travel outside of Napa, you know, growing up here as kids, we said, oh, they've taken this away, they've taken that away. You know, it's a blue hair community, there's nothing for us to do. Once you get out of here and you look at other communities, around this country and around the world, and the poverty that's out there, the hatred, the anger, the fighting, the wars, you realize that we've arrived. Napa is an amazing, amazing community. And if we can come together, if we can become less diverse and have more unity here, especially politically, there's so much common ground that we can come to. And it really just, it blesses my heart to see how much the Hispanic community has come along. I see so many business owners now coming up. It's why I'm pushing so hard for them to realize that that's a floor, that's a minimum, it's a floor, it's not a place for you to stay so that you can get the subsidies. You need to rise above that. People that migrate here, the tourists that come here from all over the world, we live in vacation, and I think we all need to remember that, and I think we're all here to preserve that, and that's what the people in this community have the opportunity to vote for board members that love this place and want to make a difference.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. That concludes the questioning portion, and now we will move to the closing statements. And since Joelle started that, this time we will reverse the order, and David, you will go first for your 90-second closing remarks.
The process of being a candidate has been a great education for me. As I'm sure it has been for the other candidates, in the sense that we now understand, I think all of us, more about the diversity of people who live here, and also in answering questions like we've been asked here today, we're really forced to formulate policy answers that will serve the community that's facing a lot of challenges, not of its own making necessarily in some cases. So. I think the gamut of issues that we face can be daunting, but I also think the energy to work together and the knowledge of of what we have to start doing now to begin to address things like climate change is very exciting, and I feel very privileged to even have the possibility of making change happen.
David Graves, thank you very much. Suzanne Bechu-Truchard, your 90-second closing comments.
Thank you, Lee. As I stated earlier, local leadership has never mattered more. We are facing one of the most important elections that Napa has encountered in decades. We need leaders that understand the importance of sustainable agriculture while also allowing local businesses to grow responsibly. Those two, the idea of sustainability and prosperity, are not mutually exclusive. I have personally knocked on nearly every door in District 1, and the citizens have made it clear that they are ready for new leadership, a fresh perspective for something other than the usual. My background, my legal training, my experience in the community uniquely qualifies me among all the candidates to understand the complex agricultural, business, legal, and environmental issues that come into play in our valley. And many community leaders and elected officials believe in me, which is why I have secured so many endorsements thus far. If you ask any of my colleagues, family, friends, and even my husband to describe me, the common thread is always, Suzanne is a problem solver, Suzanne gets the job done. I have always prided myself on the ability to execute with clarity of thought. When elected as Napa County Supervisor, I will continue to do just that. And I look forward to working with all of our community on a path forward for Napa. Thank you for the opportunity to come before you today, and it would be my honor to have your support and your vote.
Thank you, Suzanne Bechu-Truchard. Garrett Hale, your closing 90 seconds.
Okay, I'm going to just recap here tonight. I'm going to say I'm here to be a strong leader. I'm always going to do what's right for the community and what's right for the environment. Recapping on what we talked about tonight, one of the big important topics is climate change and green. We need to always make sure that what green we're talking about, not green the money, we're talking about green the environment. And being a business owner and having to deal with economics here and economics overseas, we really need to dig down, always dig down and look at the bottom line. When we're producing different platforms, different cells in hot areas, and then we're having to mitigate that with washing those solar panels down, we're having to mitigate that with repairs and whatnot. We're having to install a lot of products with heavy equipment, diesel, things like that. It's not that we can't get green, we just need to get to the bottom line and always make sure that we're doing the most efficient thing to arrive there. We can do it. We can get there. We just have to work and do what it takes to get those professionals, to get all of the answers, not just make global decisions and then fix them later. I'm all about solutions. When it comes to homeless and our rivers, our sidewalks, things like that in this community, I'm looking for solutions. Long-term solutions may cost us up front a little more, but they save us a tremendous amount of money long-term. Some of the things we talked about tonight, Board of Supervisors, we just need to do the best that we can be and be transparent. Transparency is number one when it comes to any leadership.
Thank you, Garrett Hale. Joelle Gallagher, you're going to close us out.
Thank you. Thanks, Lee. Well, I've served as a community leader for 30 years. This isn't something that I'm new to. It's something I've cultivated for a very long time. I'm very in touch with the community and all parts of the community, our community-based organizations, our businesses, our local elected and appointed officials, and I have built those relationships, and I know how to get the work done, and if I'm elected, I can hit the ground running. I want to say that our campaign is very, very grassroots. Our average donation is under $300, and we have over 75 volunteers. I'm really humbled by the endorsements that I've received. I have the endorsement of our District 1 Supervisor, Brad Wagenknecht, our Mayor of Napa, Scott Sedgley, the Democratic Club of Napa Valley, and also the Napa Sierra Club. And I feel that I am really the most qualified and ready person to serve in this role. And one thing that I didn't mention is that the way that I solve problems is from the ground up and not top down. It's really, really important to listen to everybody, to share perspectives, and to co-create solutions. Thanks.
Well, on behalf of Leadership Napa Valley, Katie Anderson, Susan Larson Bauer, Nancy Kirsten, and myself, Lee Miller, we thank you very much for your stepping up, and we wish you all the best, and we are anxious to see who is going to win in District 1, and we look forward to possibly having whoever the three that don't win be advisors, consultants, because there's a lot of knowledge in this room, and it's kind of a shame that only one of you is going to take the position. So best of luck to all of you, and thank you for sharing your ideas with us here for Leadership Napa Valley.